You're listening to the Monocle Arts Review, first broadcast on the 9th of March 2015 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. This is your daily appointment with our international critics and cultural experts. To find out the shows to see, the books to read and the music to listen to each week, today I'm going to be joined by writer and curator Francesca Gavin, who has a handful of artistic highlights up her sleeve from Frankfurt, Paris and New York. Find out what they are over the next 15 minutes here on the Monocle Arts Review. I said today we're going to be joined by the curator and writer Francesca Gavin, but that seems like letting listeners in on tenterhooks, strangely, because you're right here and you heard me saying all of the menu bits. So anyway,
I'm very quiet when I need to.
Let's get Francesca out. And how are tricks? I hear you've been, well, you've had a big important hang in Istanbul, Soho House, right?
I've been hanging the new Soho House out there. 326 artworks on 44 walls over 7 days. It's the biggest one we've done.
So you've seen a lot of people running up and down on stepladders at your behest.
Yes, there's been a lot of ladders. There's been a lot of... It looks stunning now.
A lot of bums on a lot of ladders.
There's a lot of ladder action, yeah.
Nice. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I feel that that's a story in the offing, really, isn't it? We need to do something about that.
It'd be 100%
nice to see how that's put together. But first of all, you're taking us to New York.
Mm-hmm. Nippy New York.
Exactly. To the triennial at the New Museum. What should we be looking out for here?
Well, I was really looking forward to this triennial, and it's the third iteration. It started 6 years ago, obviously, this being the third time, and it's every 3 years being a triennial.
Yeah, that's good. You need to explain the math for people like
exactly.
me, so thank you for doing so.
And the first one was Younger Than Jesus, and it was all about people under 26. And this one's co-curated between Lauren Cornell, who's a really respected curator who works at the New Museum. She's best known for her relationship with technology and like being one of the big voices behind Rhizome. Uh-huh. And she's hooked up with Ryan Tricarton, who's a kind of it artist from LA at the moment, who makes very noisy, screechy, crazy internet-infused installation and video work. And together, they've come together and done an exhibition called Surround Audience, which is basically got 50 or so artists from around the world. And it definitely picks into both of their fascination with technology and surveillance and how we project ourselves. And it looks really fascinating. There's some really, really amazing artists in it.
And it's one of those things, is this an easy watch? Does it have to be? It sounds like there's quite a lot of video components.
There's a lot of video. There's a lot of strange performances,
right,
including one by Dis Magazine, who are kind of a curatorial brand art collective, who have involved people twice a day lying under a sort of a unit where they're washed in a shower and then come out damp. There's also another crazy sort of walk performance thing by Luke Willis Thomas, who mm-hmm. basically takes you out for an hour, takes you on the tube and wanders around New York City,
okay,
which is kind of crazy. There's also really interesting parts that Ryan Tricarton, for example, has done. The New Museum are known for doing really good wall texts. The people who did the wall texts at the Venice Biennale a couple of years ago. Like, fascinating wall texts. This time they've got Ryan Tricarton kind of doing strange, weird thought speak poetry, oddness, his take on all the works within the show. So that's kind of interesting. And then there's sort of also Eva Kotakova. I'm going to mispronounce her name. It's Czech, who does amazing installations. And they're often activated by people like being within these sculptural objects, like sitting around with strange cages on their bodies, sort of like a three-dimensional collage.
So this sounds like proper triennial, old school triennial stuff, the kind of stuff that has got nothing to do with art fairs, is everything to do with stuff that is difficult to hang, difficult to buy, stuff that doesn't fit over your fireplace or go with your sofa.
Well, there's definitely, I would say, a large amount of that. There's a lot of like video.
Or depending upon how
strangers.
Mad your house is.
Exactly. Right. There's definitely, I would say, 50% of the weird stuff. But there's also, surprisingly, quite a few artists working with more traditional materials. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to try to pronounce. There's a girl called Ninjeke Akayuli. I know I've mispronounced that
it's
name.
It's okay, it's good.
She's worked with the Studio Museum Harlem as an artist in residence. She does paintings, straightforward. Jose Leon Carrillo, who's an amazing South American artist, who does sort of abstract, sort of installation sculptural work, very, very sort of op art influence, very black structures, essentially. Yeah. So they're quite traditional, weirdly, but I can understand how they've been included with these kind of ideas about how do you describe our moment of being now.
And so this sounds, just finally on the triennial at the new museum, it sounds properly curated. It sounds very tightly curated, that the curators have got a very a strong hand on the reins of these shows.
Well, I think they had tough competition for the past 2 years, and reception to the current show has been either pro or against, partly because the earlier ones seemed so much to define the generations they were in. Ryan Tricarton, for example, really exploded after being in the last one. There were some great sort of sensation of what the artists were, particularly with the catalogue for the Younger Than Jesus first triennial, because even though you had a large selection in the show, the catalogue brought together, I think, about 300 artists and gave them each a page. So it's sort of like a phone book.
Mm-hmm.
Published by Fiden, which is still very useful. Always interesting to see who does well over the years afterwards.
Yeah, right.
I think it does have a very strong ethos of what it's trying to do.
And I mean, sort of internet art that's all about the internet, how we use it, all the rest of it, the splashiness of it, the video craft of it is kind of one thing. Then there are people like John Gerard, who did that wonderful thing at the Thomas Dane Gallery, which is really, really quiet, still, contemplative work that is all about sort of how we use the internet and all the rest of it. Is this sort of art still in its infancy to the extent that you can't quite... people don't necessarily always know what people are talking about when they say it's post-internet or it is internet-derived art or whatever.
I mean,
is it a tough one still to talk about?
I mean, it's really interesting. I would say in around 2010, there was a real burst of artists doing stuff. I'm doing an exhibition in Berlin, which opens on the 12th of March, which is about our relationship to the internet. It's called Hands Off. And it's about disembodied noses and teeth and hands and how we feel very uncomfortable or feel strange about our physicality after having seen so much interaction with technology.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of fascinated.
That our actual bodies become alien to us.
Yeah,
somehow.
But interestingly, a lot of the way that's emerging in artworks is quite traditionally. So I've got a painting of a nose by Neil Rumming, for example, or sculptural hands from Nina Bayer and Simon Muller, or a beautiful print of a penis by Celia Hempton. So I was quite...
Celia Hempton's this naughty girl, isn't she?
Yeah, brilliant work. Really, really talented.
Well, hands up. We'll pick up Hands Off at the end.
Good.
But we're going to go to the Schön Kunsthalle in Frankfurt first. Mm. What have they got up their sleeve? No collection, so always an interesting roving collection of stuff, or interesting roving exhibitions of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I think Max Hollein, the curator there, is fascinating. He's done a lot of work with Tate Liverpool. They've done a lot of co-productions. This is a weird show, and it's very German.
We need a sort of klaxon to go off, don't
yeah.
we? We need some sound effects on this programme.
Yeah. It's basically the concept's Artists and Prophets from 1872 to 1972, looking within a European context, but also largely focusing on a German one. And there's about 400 plus works in the show. It's very much about artists or these prophet characters that emerged and proclaimed themselves to have followers. Very that kind of pre-Nazi period of, you know, euphoria and veganism and homeopathy and openness, basically proto-hippies.
Yeah, well, this is sort of this post-Christian kind of muscular... It was a bit of it bound up in the Bauhaus and all this sort of like, yeah, you'd call it muscular Christianity if it was a form of Christianity, but it was all about like naked displays of flesh,
yeah,
but all about health and vigour.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
There's lots of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kind of just general weirdness. Some of this also emerged in like Dadaism,
yeah.
So there'll be artists working with that. And you look at someone like Joseph Beuys, who very much proclaimed himself to be an artist who was a prophet leading people with this kind of messianic approach to him. But what's so interesting is how this exhibition recontextualizes him within a much wider tradition in German art that you wouldn't necessarily think of. You think of Germanness as something so linear, so Aryan. So it's fascinating seeing like the messy, dirty craziness of people like Egon Schiele or my personal weird favorite, Friedrichs Reich Hundertwasser. terrible with names. He's best known for doing those kind of amazing paintings on the outside of buildings, I think Viennese. They're very organic, and he was very much into ecology working in the 60s and 70s. So it's kind of wonderful linking together all these odd characters and working out how they could present a different form of what an artist could be, and also very much how they impacted on wider culture beyond art.
And interesting as well, obviously this is happening in Frankfurt as well. It's nice that it's a German take on this crazy form of Germanness.
Yeah, I think it's
you kind of want to see it there, actually.
Yeah.
And I wonder, and that's something you want to read the wool notes, the wool text, don't you?
I definitely think it's going to be a catalogue to enjoy and read thoroughly. If nothing else, because it's so nice to read about those kind of eccentric characters that the art world doesn't really attract in the same way as it used to, because it's become so professionalized.
Yeah.
So looking at these kind of people who think they're Christ who paint is fascinating in contrast. It's such a difference.
Nice. Well, there's Emil Nolder as well, who was one of those kind of like, who was sort of, you know, went out of favour, obviously. It was kind of considered, what was the phrase, degenerate art, mm-hmm. you know, by the Nazis. And then, but had this kind of, was similar to Schiele maybe, one of those people that had this kind of dirty, sort of sexy, dirty strangeness and this kind of pagan attitude to things, which was very un-German.
Totally.
Time,
I mean, you can see someone like Martin Kippenberger, who obviously was big in the 80s, this kind of a more strange 80s punk take on someone like this, where you've got these characters who just kind of invent themselves and attract people towards them. And how does that influence creativity? And how does it influence culture? I mean, I love the idea that the curator, Max Herlein, particularly was saying homeopathy, veganism, vegetarianism is because of these kind of characters. And these are very common things within European culture now. So I find that really fascinating, the idea of how art can influence culture in a wider sense.
I like that the kale and quinoa smoothie started with Egon Schiele. I love that. That show is Artists and Prophets at the Schien Kunsthalle in Frankfurt. Next, Francesca Gavin, we're going to talk about Bruce Naumann, maybe on slightly familiar terms here, but tell us about this one.
Well, this is his biggest show in Paris for 15 years, and it's chunky. And I love the Fondation Cartier. It's one of like the best spaces. It's a big, giant glass building. It's so quiet there. They often have some amazing curation. It's very French, their approach. But
it's great in the sense it's got a really nice restaurant on the top floor.
It does have a very nice restaurant, that's true, and a good basement. And they've done shows with people that are really hugely respected. I think they've just celebrated their 20th or 25th anniversary.
Yeah, they did. And I think they did it out like the fish tank that people will often think it is, which is kind of quite a nice touch.
Yeah, and I particularly liked it when they had Gautier making baguettes and croissants within the gallery. Well, this time, this is very much about Naumann's take on the environment and audience participation. And there's some early... I was very fascinated to read that he had a background in maths and physics before studying an MFA in art, which I was unaware of, which is quite interesting. And lots of sound and video. So stuff from the early 70s, very much also touching all the way up to, you know, contemporary work, for example, things in 2009 that were included for the Venice Biennale when he represented.
Because he did those sort of clockwork things which had hands on the ends of them. And there was all sorts of, you could imagine his physics and his maths coming out. They were a bit Leonardo-esque, weren't they? These sort of strange machines that you didn't quite know what they were for and things.
My favourite, particularly the video works where you end up turning around a corner and then you see your own body falling afterwards. He was one of the most interesting people to be working with early video, kind of, but also very much working these loops that made the viewer aware of their own bodies and their own feeling in connection to the screen, to the process of viewing, the idea of being an audience. And, you know, he does some great sound pieces. I remember his Tate turbine horn a lot, particularly because it was so annoying. And I think what's so interesting about Naumann is he makes annoyingness sort of like that kind of visceral itch that makes you want to scream, part of what he does.
That triple no film is still my worst ever. You know, the clown jumping up and down,
it's so
saying
scary.
That it's the most horrible, grating, terrifying thing, more frightening than any horror movie you could imagine. And it is that use of, it's almost, his use of sound has almost been stolen by horror films and things
completely.
Like that. That kind of, the sound and the images that you kind of can't escape from. You close your eyes and they're burnt into your retina somehow.
I remember the element of the take, because there was multiple sound elements to it where it was someone saying work, 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 which is literally the least enjoyable word to hear within an art space. You don't want to think about working.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that sometimes his work is just joyous, sometimes his work is really funny, and sometimes it's just itchy.
Yeah.
If that's possible to be describing an artwork as itchy, I think Bruce Nauman can be itchy.
Well, I suppose you know you're doing something right when you're exciting such visceral responses in people,
totally.
Right? Yeah. And if he's all about being interested in what the audience feel and what it is to be an audience member, what it is to look at art, then he's doing something.
I think he's doing it very well. And I think it's great for Paris to have like a big, strong, huge show for the first time in 15 years. It's a long time.
Yeah. That is Bruce Nauman at the Fondation Cartier, that beautiful fish tank which we were talking about there. We've come to the end of it there, but we'll talk about Hands Off. Where can people come and see that in Berlin?
Hands Off is at a space called Horse and Pony Fine Arts in Neukölln. It's in a disused Jugendstil butchers with crazy tiles. And if you look at my blog, rough version. blogspot.com, you can see the details.
We can come there and you can high-five Francesca Gavin yourself, having lapped up her art review today. Thank you very much, Francesca Gavin. Thank you also to our team behind the glass. Today's show was produced by Holly Fisher. Tune in at the same time tomorrow when DJ and radio presenter Balan Leonard will join me to discuss the latest releases in country music. But for the time being, from me, Robert Pound, thanks for tuning in.